So it's 9:13. If you need to be somewhere at 9:30 or 10, what time should you leave? And does this moment mark the end of our weather segment or the beginning of our interview segment? Well, the correct answer there is both. So we already think about time in a number of different ways. Today's guest wants to expand your time horizons even further. Howard Falco wrote a book about our relationship to time. It's called Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life. Be careful if you Google it. You'll get a lot of hits on Jim Croce's song. Howard Falco speaks and teaches on reality, the nature of consciousness, and the power of the mind. He works with clients and groups to achieve self-awareness and breaking through limits. His earlier book is I Am, The Power of Discovering Who You Really Are. Howard Falco, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
I understand this whole process, your current line of work, started with your own awakening 12 years ago. What happened?
Wow. How much time do we have?
Until 1750.
Yeah. Well, the short story is I had reached a point in my life where I didn't know really what the purpose of life was. I had so many things that I thought would make one happy. I was happily married, two wonderful children, a job that I was enjoying. And I still had nagging questions about the nature of existence, why there are wars in the world, why some people die and some people live, why some people have great lives and other people seem to struggle. And this sort of reached a crescendo where I basically just sort of threw my hands up, and not being deeply religious or spiritual at the time or scientific, I just asked. I said, you know, I'm ready to know more information. And I wanted to know. And over the course of the next 6 months, those answers started to make their way into my awareness through my regular walk of life. And these came in two very profound and big, what I would call peak experiences, where my awareness or my consciousness, whichever word you choose, expanded at a very rapid rate. And I was left with a tremendous amount of insight and information that I never thought I would have, and I decided to honor it and write about it.
So you say it came from your daily walk of life. So did you not seek out spiritual teachers or guides or anybody who could kind of help you along the way?
No, I did not. I did not have a spiritual teacher. I just was really, really ready, and I started to see the connection between me and life. And I started to see how life's true purpose is always to bring us information to help us expand our awareness based on our intentions when we are ready. So it's a matter of readiness. There's millions of people every single day that ask questions or have prayers or want information or want to know how to change things. But then only a fraction of those people are truly ready for the information, because it's really going to change the way that you look at yourself and the world. So it was a combination of asking very intently and being ready.
So it's a matter of really not just having dreams, but finding ways to connect yourself to those dreams, to actually walk into them.
Exactly. Not being afraid of what the information means, and not being afraid to be humble and see where maybe your thoughts have caused you to think and act in ways that have created a certain circumstance in your life, and not being ashamed of it or feeling guilty about it, but just knowing that it was a learning experience for you, and we're all doing the best we can, and that if you want to go further and you want to change things and you want to create, you have to be open to that information that's going to help you change your thoughts, feelings, and actions, so that the world can then respond differently to that energy. Really, at the core, we're all energy. And so everything is connecting and mixing with us in a certain way to help us to achieve what our creative intentions are, just like it does with nature, with the seed. The seed has a certain intention of what it's going to be, but it takes the right conditions around it to have it emerge.
People must ask you all the time, then, how can I make what happened to you happen to me?
That's a great question. And that's the whole intention of my work, is to pass on this awareness to help people on their journey to whatever they want to know and whatever they're ready for at a time that's right for them. So I would say that you're doing it right now at this very moment for anybody that's listening. You're open to information, and it's coming to you in all the coincidences or non-coincidences that it happens to be coming to you at right now. And just to keep steady on this path and be very, very intense in your desire to want to achieve it.
So the topic of this particular book is, it's a big subject area. What got you thinking about time, Howard?
Well, the first book was about self-awareness and how to understand who we are and how everything gets created in our lives. There was a certain piece about time in there that got cut out that was a little bit of a tangent, and I wanted to expand on that idea and show people how the space between where you are right now and what your dreams or desires are can change, expand, or contract based on your thoughts, feelings, and actions at any given moment. So what that space really is time between where you are and what your intention is. And so with a greater understanding of how your energy is either contributing to time or collapsing time, it helps you gain more control of the idea of time and helps you get more in a trustworthy place with life and how it's always working with you.
So don't fight it so much as figure out ways to go with it.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's actually something we could talk quite a bit about.
And we will. In fact, you can hear the music and know we're coming up to the break. Howard Falco is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life. We'll talk more about the concepts in the book and how we generally react or act about time in our own lives. Join us on the Exchange. You're more than welcome to take part in this discussion. We'll take your phone calls and emails when we come back with Howard in a minute 30. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. We're talking today about time through the context of Howard Falco's book, Time in a Bottle. Howard Falco speaks and teaches on reality, the nature of consciousness, and the power of the mind. Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life is the entire title of the book. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Can we start with the general assumption that this is about changing our views of time? I mean, as David Bowie said, I can't change time, but we can change the way we respond to time.
That's right, because time is based on our perception, and all you have to do is look at two different situations. One is you're in the middle of traffic trying to get home. Time can seem like it stretches for a long time or a long while. Or if you're on vacation and you're really enjoying it and you don't want it to end, it can seem like it goes really, really fast. There's actually a great funny quote in the book called Zoll's Second Law, and it says, how long a minute is depends on which side of the bathroom door you're on. So it's a very much a perception thing as it relates to how we experience time. So, yes, changing your perception of how time works with you or its purpose can change everything.
You provide lots of examples, a bunch of case histories, and analogies in here as well. And there's one right here at the beginning about using a magnifying glass to start a fire. Mm-hmm. What's that an analogy for?
Well, the analogy is that when you're trying to start a fire, you have a specific intent. The light has to be harnessed through the lens at a certain pinpoint location to harness as much heat as possible to start the fire. And in a way, that's like creating what you want. You have to harness all the conditions together in order to ignite that intention into being. And you have to be focused on what those intentions are. So your awareness has to be really open to where you're missing some of the conditions that could help you create what you want, whether it's a relationship, a job, it could be anything. So as you adjust the magnifying glass, you're saying, okay, that's too close, that's not creating it. Oh, that's too far away, that's not doing it. You're trying different things in order to get ultimately to the result of that fire starting.
Your own use of time, Howard, can we assume that you're much more efficient than you used to be?
Yes, and that's because I've learned to trust the silence more, really, because it's sometimes when we don't see things going on the surface that we can start running around trying to do things, which can work against us in a lot of ways. And sometimes we have to trust that beneath the surface, those roots are really being planted.
Enjoying the silence is a difficult concept for a lot of today's world, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good point. We are so distracted, or our attention is so scattered today, especially with social media and the amount of data that's coming into our hands at every single second. It is astonishing, actually. So there's never been a better time, pun intended, to understand a different way of experiencing time.
Well, you know, yeah, it's a good point, because I can remember just a couple of days ago, okay, I'm going to look down at Facebook and then I'm going to look up and see what time it is. And 15 minutes had gone by.
Yeah, that's a really, it's very interesting how that works. It's really a time vampire on us if we're trying to accomplish something. We can get very distracted by that.
I don't want to leave out one of the most common phrases in the book, which is very short, I am. That obviously was the title of your earlier book. When you say I am, what do you mean?
I am is the core of everything in existence, and it is shown through its self-expression, whether it's a plant, an animal, or a person. And so when it comes to a human being, understanding how you have defined that at the very core through your truths, through your beliefs, is such a key to really taking conscious control of your life and understanding how to create moving forward. Because you can finally see the ideas that come after I am that don't serve you or may not serve you anymore as it relates to what you want to experience. For example, if relationships have been a trouble and maybe you discover that there's an I am that says you're not lovable, you're not worthy, it's important to see that so you finally have the option as to whether or not you want to carry that identity of yourself moving forward. And if you want to create a loving and lasting relationship, then that's one that needs to be identified, worked on, and changed. Because the truth is, we're all worthy.
Is this tethered to any particular religious or spiritual tradition?
Yeah. What's been so fascinating about this, Jeffrey, is that zero, no religious, no spiritual. Now, there are parallels and there are rhymes in certain thoughts and ideas that have been expressed throughout religion, throughout mysticism, throughout metaphysics, throughout spirituality for hundreds of years. But no, it came through in a very clear and clean and mainstream context. I was coaching Little League and, you know, in the middle of the ordinary family life when this occurred, so I thought it was just fascinating to have this sort of a context to go out into the world and express this information. Maybe not so esoteric or not so spiritual or religious-based.
Howard Falco is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the author of Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life. The book starts, part one, The Purpose of Time. Why force us to think about infinity first? I mean, you want to blow our minds all up front here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I did drop the big one there at the beginning of the book. But I think it's really, to have a discussion about time, that's sort of the elephant in the room. That's the hard problem that mathematics has always had, which is infinity. How do they deal with that in understanding the universe? And so I had to address it early. The truth of infinity had to be addressed because that's all we know right now. I mean, we look into space, we have not found that that Truman Show moment where we bump into a wall out there. It doesn't exist. So if there's no end to space, and because space is absolutely linked to time, there's truly no end to time. And if there's no end to time, then you have to think about the idea that there is no beginning to time either. And now, this is a point that the mind sort of just says, whoa, hang on here. That's a little bit big for me to understand. But the real core idea that's being expressed through the idea of infinity is really that life is the only unavoidable. And I think a lot of times moments of our life get ruined or robbed from the idea that death is coming or that our life is going to end. And so we need to accumulate, we need to have some, you know, gluttony becomes an issue there when we're self-absorbed and fearful of death. So I think when you take that away, that idea that really what we are in essence doesn't ever die or that life never ends, it can be a huge shift in the way that you look at your life and that you look at going through it. And then time changes in the process or the experience of it changes. So it is a big concept and a deep one, but a very, very important one.
It sounds like, in a sense, what you're saying is that the fear of having time run out on us, like not being the one who dies with the most toys or something, actually causes us to use time poorly while we're here.
Right. Well, it causes us to use it in a way that gratifies I rather than we. And I think that once you realize that you can never not be, if I can use the double negative, that you always will be, this incredible amount of gratitude floods you, and you feel this incredible overwhelming sense of love, and it shifts your perspective to what can I get from the world to what can I give to the world? What can I offer? How can I help? How can I share and be in this and realize this unbelievable connectivity to all of us who are going through this experience? So it is a very big shift in mind and of a spiritual nature.
You get Einstein and his formula in here, E equals MC squared, but just switch out a few parts. What's going on there?
Well, when you look at the two worlds, the world of quantum physics and the world of physics, and you look at that equation, you see an interesting parallel. And the parallel in quantum physics, what they discovered is that the observer, what they've proven through the double slit experiment, is that it's the observer that causes matter to bind together, to actually come together into a form, rather than, you know, the wave to become the particle, sort of to simplify it. And so if you look at Einstein's theory, the one constant that doesn't change is the speed of light. So what I offered was a different way to look at the speed of light. Instead of looking at it as light, I presented an idea of looking at it as thought or intention, and that being the key component between when energy turns into matter or matter turns back into energy. It's linked through the idea of thought or intention, which in Einstein's formula is the speed of light squared. Now, what's interesting about his formula is he squared the speed of light because he realized you can never catch it. That ratio always stays there. So the faster you go, if you were going to attempt, in theory, to get up to the speed of light, the ratio would remain the same. In other words, energy in you would shift into mass to slow you down enough to keep that ratio the same. So it's a very interesting way of looking at the science of it and connecting it to the same thing that quantum mechanics has shown about the observer, which goes back to the idea of how important you are and vital you are to everything that's happening in your life, how much power is really in you when you realize that and learn that and love yourself enough to allow yourself to step into that space.
Howard Falco is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life. You can join us on the exchange to talk about time and how we perceive time. It's not just about time management, but about a much broader view of our relationship to time. Join us at 800-838-3760 around the region in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Jeannie in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Howard Falco.
Hi, gosh, so much great stuff. Pre-computer days, I worked as an administrative assistant, and I got an article out of Time magazine about how to manage time, and I had four inboxes or files, and everything fit into one or the other, oh, including the trash can, but to do, to pay, to file, to read. It made things so simple, it really worked. But now, you know, with computers and all and programming and also I'm thinking of the word I am, and there's so much power in just saying that. And also the Martin Luther King when the garbage men, I remember that documentary I watched. The men just walked with the sign, mm-hmm. I am a man.
Correct.
And thirdly, are you familiar with, I love this, Wayne Dyer, The Power of Intention? You're so right on about intention. Sometimes I'll ask someone, what was your intention in doing or saying that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And thank you very much.
All right, a lot of stuff to take in there. Thanks, Jeannie. Good to hear from you. Howard, thoughts?
Yeah, wow, everything she said was really on point. The Martin Luther King March, I do remember seeing pictures of that where they were establishing a very, very powerful statement that was making the core of their case in the civil rights movement, saying, I am a man, period. That is enough to, I mean, that, there's so much power in that statement, and that's why the whole first book was written about that, and it is the core of everything. And so to understand how that works in your life and how much power there is in those thoughts and words is incredibly powerful. So she's absolutely accurate on that.
Something else Jeannie was talking about that was about the world that she lived in as an administrative assistant before computers. Computers, you know, kitchen gadgets, a lot of things are referred to as time-saving devices. In your opinion, do we actually come out ahead or do we just about break even?
It depends on each individual and how they use it. We can use it as a distraction for us so that we keep ourselves scattered from our own self-thoughts, or we can actually use it to help us organize more of our life and keep us much more efficient. So again, it goes back to each individual and what they're trying to create in their world. They will use all the means necessary in front of them to either expand time and make it last longer as it relates to their dreams, or collapse time and use it to their benefit to achieve what they want. So it's very personal.
One of the stories here is about your son, his experience on the school bus at age 11 when a kid wouldn't let him sit next to him. What does that tell us about use of time, though?
Well, it shows us how much resistance is related to time. So my son's resistance was that his friends, or so-called friends, were not letting him sit next to him on the bus, and he was getting upset, and hence feeding what they wanted, which was the attempt to instigate him. He was allowing their tactics to get him upset. What I told him was, accept the fact that that's who they are, and you can't know why they're treating you like that because you're not in their homes behind closed doors and you don't know what's going on there. So just give them the benefit of the doubt there, and don't need to sit next to them. End your need. End your resistance to not being able to sit next down to them and see what happens. And he got on the bus, and he didn't say anything, and he just went right past them, and he sat back at the back of the bus without sitting next to him. And within a matter of, he said, 10 seconds, his best friend came up to him and said, "Hey, Jeffrey, do you want to come sit next to me?" Because that's how powerful our resistance is to holding up a drama in our lives. When we finally let it go, when we finally accept that that's who they are, not that we want it to occur for tomorrow, but that we're not going to let it affect us anymore, we take the power back over it.
And in time, it certainly shortened up the period of this particular sequence of events.
Exactly. It immediately collapsed the experience into what he wanted it to be, which was to sit next to his friend. But he had to let go of his need in order to accomplish that. He had to let go of his resistance to it. Resistance, if you really want to get down to it, the secret to time or is really acceptance.
Part two of the book, Time in a Bottle, is called How You Become Stuck in Time, which appears to be a place that most of us get to at some point or another. You start with regret for the past. It causes us to do what, Howard?
Well, regret for the past causes us to live in the past. We can't be present, and we can't use our energy to focus on what we want to create right now because we're lamenting over something we could have, would have, or should have done. And should have, would have, and could have are three lies. There is only what we did and the truth of it. And the faster we accept that, again, it's really important to understand we're not accepting that who we were is who we are right now. We're simply accepting that that was the best we could do for that moment because that is the truth. And when we accept it, we can let go of it, and then we're back where? We're back in the present moment. And then we can focus on the situation at hand and where our energy needs to be focused. This is huge with a lot of athletes that I work with is the present moment. It is a very, very powerful place, and the ones that can get more into that moment are the ones that can let more of their truer talent come out.
Which is, again, almost a mind-bending concept, though, because you think about an athlete, they're thinking about the present moment, they're thinking about how well they're going to do, for example, in this race, but the race is actually, you know, the few seconds or minutes ahead of them.
Right.
But you have to live in those minutes as they come.
No, they're thinking about the movement of their arm up and down in the right proper motion and the placement of their heel, toe, foot in the next, actually, that's how into the moment they are. It's just every single movement is just as precise as it can be. If they're worried about the finish line, they're not, you know, their body may be out of sync. The way they're running may be a way that's draining more energy than it should, especially in a marathon. So it's really about absorbing yourself into and getting lost almost in that moment. Some of the, you know, the most greatest athletic performances of all time, if you ask them afterwards about it, they'll almost say they didn't know what was going on around them, only what they were focused on doing at the moment. This happens with golfers all the time. They finish a round and they have a record round, and they say, "I didn't even know what I was shooting. I was just focused on the next shot, and then the result came out with like a 63 or something." So it's really fascinating to let go to that degree to absorb yourself in the moment.
Howard, when you write of taking action to break the chains of time, break the chains of time is the quote here. It seems like time is almost tangible to you now.
Tangible, I would say almost the opposite.
Really?
Yeah, that it's not a tangible thing. It's completely and totally intangible. It doesn't exist anymore. It's just the next moment, what's in front of me, what do I need to do based on what my ultimate intentions, goals, dreams, and desires are. And there's an openness and a trust to life. So what can look like something that is a distraction, I no longer see it as a distraction and resist it. I walk into it and say, okay, what is the purpose of this? What do I need to do? And how do I need to handle it? And it always works out for the best.
Much more to talk about the very concept of time itself. We're talking to Howard Falco about his book, Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life. We'll come back and talk more with Howard and take more of your phone calls and emails if you'd like to join us back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Howard Falco, self-improvement expert, author, speaker, spiritual teacher, and coach. And he's written a book called Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about our relationship to time and how we can make that evolve, how we can use time to our advantage as we go through life. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, direct quote from the book here in part two, How You Become Stuck in Time. Time is not something you do or don't have. Time is something you make. How do we make time, Howard?
We make it by our resistance or acceptance to our circumstance.
That was easy. But by which you mean, I think, that the more you resist, the longer time seems to drag. The more
exactly.
you accept, the faster it goes.
Exactly. And it gets back to this idea of being in a trusting space with life, that how really true, if I could use this word, divine life is in the way that it's connecting with us. There is a purpose for every single thing that is happening. And the more we open to that, the more that we see that, the more exciting it gets and the more that we work ourselves into the situation and accept what's going on. So, for example, we could be in a relationship problem. But it could be related to a question that we have saying, how do I live the most fulfilling, intimate, fun, exciting relationship possible? And so the issues in the relationship are coming up to ultimately get you to that connection with that other individual that's going to provide this or show you where potentially you could be trying to put a square peg into a round hole. So there's a lot of different things that could be unveiled as you walk down this path, but you have to really want what you intend to have in your life and be faithful enough to walk down the path to get it, or your job. You could say, how do I get, into this position or make more money in my life? And so all of a sudden, a situation comes up at work that causes a disruption, and you're not understanding why this is happening to you, but you don't realize it's connected to your intention of getting a better-paying job. Now, either because it brings things to a head at work where you finally have that conversation with your superiors, your boss, saying, hey, I'd like to move up the chain here, and I'd like to be able to advance and increase my opportunity here, or where you end that relationship and open the space up to go and honor yourself in a new way with another company. So again, what first may look like something that's there as trouble or an inconvenience ultimately has something in it for you.
This whole concept of resistance is a really interesting one, particularly in that context, because you have to realize when things are happening to you that are things that may be what you want.
Mm-hmm.
I think is what you just said, essentially.
Yeah, that's it. Well, it comes in the form that it can get your attention. So if you're not open to it in certain ways, if there are easier ways for life to bring you the answers, it will bring it to you. So almost you could say suffering, to the degree of your suffering is relatable to the degree of your ignorance. And I don't mean ignorance in a negative way. I just mean in your unawareness of what life has been sort of softly knocking on your door trying to tell you. If you don't listen to the soft knock and you still ask the question, life will come back with a little bit louder knock, and then finally the door will get broken down at some point. That's how it works. That's how connected life is to you. But that's what's so exciting, and that really reveals how much we are each truly heard and loved by this incredibly elegant and divine universe that's here to help serve us and our intentions.
And yet, when you offer advice to people, I'm sure you've heard this directly, people will tell you right back, I don't have time for what you're talking. I cannot do that. And here, let me lay out my schedule for you, Howard Falco. Boom, boom, boom. And down the line they go about all the things they have to do.
Right.
When they come back to you with, I don't have time, how do you respond?
I say, well, when you're ready, you'll make time. In the meantime, that's just a diversion and a rationalization for not being ready yet to take the steps that are being offered to you to create what you want to create. And that's okay. Everybody's on their own pace and in their own, quote, time. This word keeps coming up. But really, for anybody who truly wants something bad enough, time will be made. If you look at throughout your day what you do, you make time for all sorts of things. All sorts of things you make time for. So it's really intention-based. And if your intention is that you're not yet ready or you're too fearful of taking those steps because you know it might lead to the next step and the next step and the next step, that, you know, if you know having the conversation with your significant other might actually lead to intimacy at a whole new level and you're not ready for that type of connection or you don't feel worthy of that type of connection, you'll never create the first conversation. Or if you don't feel worthy of the job or you feel you'll be overwhelmed by it, even though you say you want it and you want to make more money, you'll never take the steps to actually put the resume out and make the phone calls to say, I'm your person, you know, and have that type of confidence and that energy that actually carries you through. But when you are ready, when you do realize your unlimited worth and that you're as valuable and worthy as any other human being in existence, you will absolutely take those steps necessary and you will make the time to create what you want. Now, there is a certain time frame based on each thing that you're trying to create. So if you're trying to go out and climb the little molehill in the neighborhood park, that's going to take less time than if you wanted to journey to the top of Mount Everest. So each journey and intention has a certain set of conditions that you have to be aware of, and you have to be ready for that journey. But it's all attainable.
And obviously you have to allow a little more time for climbing Mount Everest than you
exactly.
do for climbing the molehill. Okay. So,
and be more prepared for the storms and everything that's going to happen along the way. You will be vetted more by life the bigger the things that you're asking for in life. That's why very few people can make it through the funnel, because they have to really demonstrate that they're ready for it and that's who they want to be. You know, there are truly no shortcuts. I know we see reality TV and we see stars being born overnight, but really, when you start to really peel the layers back on some of these people, there are some really interesting backstories on these people and what they've done all their life and who they're demonstrating themselves to be. So you have to be ready for the journey.
There was something a few minutes ago that you were talking about, and made me think in terms of a physical concept of, and I think it was actually you're talking about your son and resistance, about the idea of releasing your grip, your grasp. Mm-hmm. You're holding on to the situation as you see it, but it sounds like releasing can actually give you more of what you want. And in fact, you say later on in the book, keep desire and belief, but drop need.
Right, exactly. In my son's case, he was looking at it, personalizing it. They don't like me, and they're trying to, you know, be mean to me. When, in essence, it never really had anything to do with him. It had to do with the so-called, I'll call them bullies, and the fact that they were trying to exhibit power and their will on the school bus because in some way they felt powerless in their own life, most likely behind closed doors at home is where they felt very, very powerless. So they were just simply trying to exhibit it. Once he gave them the space to understand that he can't know what the reasons are, and he gave that space and he let go of the grip of the resistance, is when everything changed. Because from a very deep level, these bullies really felt that he had accepted them for who they were on the deepest level. And that's what reduced their need to demonstrate their will to him. So it's very subtle and very deep, but very, very powerful. So he realized that and he was fascinated by it himself, and he's used it in his life since then.
Let's take some calls. We have Brad in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Howard Falco. His book is Time in a Bottle.
Yeah, thank you. Very, very interesting conversation going on here. I have come to think that we live in eternity all the time, but it's always changing. And the Buddhists help remind us to stay with those changes as they come. I've been a meditator for about 40 years, and some of my most exquisite moments in life have been those moments when I'm deeply immersed in the now, in the presence of my own being. There's a lot of room in there. There's a lot more room within one breath when you're in meditation than there is when you're unmindful of things like that. So I like what he's having to say, and I just wanted to add that comment.
All right. Thanks for that, Brad. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a wonderful point. There's this beautiful expansive state when you get into the present moment where there's no worry, there's this tremendous state of peace, and it's really, really blissful. And the whole idea of all the work that I'm doing is for people to be able to not only experience that state, but to also be able to take that into their walking life. Because again, the only unavoidable is life. A lot of times people have these big experiences and they sort of check out that oneness is it. You know, I want to be in oneness. But the reality is life goes on. You know, it's the old story of chop wood, or doing the laundry, chopping wood. That doesn't change after you have this great experience. But the texture of it changes, the context, the experience of it changes. And so the idea is to be able to take this great understanding of this connectivity, this expansiveness, this limitless nature to time, and bring it into your life for the service of other people, you know, yourself and other people, as it relates to living your greatest intentions or what you want to see for the world.
Let us take another call. Here's Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Howard Falco.
Yes, I don't know if what I'm going to say is a positive, a negative, or just a reality, but if you've noticed, high school science fairs right on up to grants for MIT graduates, it's involving computers to run robots in 21st century man to recover the lost time that older equipment had caused in the old 20th century. So it plays a very tremendous monetary value on recovering lost time.
Mm-hmm. That is a pretty consistent concept.
Right.
Thanks for that, Jim. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It goes back to what you said earlier, Jeffrey, about the fact that we have all these computers and all this high-speed technology, but yet have we really gained any time, or is it really a distraction? Again, I think that's why left-brainers or people that are developing all this wonderful technology, which is great, and helpful to society in its transformation and its global connection, also needs the balance of the right side of the brain and this understanding of this limitless nature of time and empathy and love and caring to make sure that that side doesn't run away and we don't end up being like a science fiction movie. Like Lucy just came out, which I saw, which was interesting about, you know, this incredible data and brain power that, you know, she
uses 100% of her brain, right?
But yet all her emotions, all her empathy, that all disappeared. It was all violent. So it just proved how important this, you know, this information is to a society that's getting ramping up in its technology in the effort to capture time or to be more powerful or more in control of things. It needs the love. It needs the empathy. It needs the understanding of infinity and our limitless nature.
So part three of the book, Time in a Bottle, is called How to Dissolve Time and Create What You Desire. That's a really interesting concept, dissolving time.
Mm-hmm. Dissolving, collapsing, right. There's some key ways of going about life and holding a certain state of mind that helps in doing that. And so what I offer there is a couple key concepts, which is one, the perfection of your past, to be able to see that everything had a perfection and a meaning in it. And I'm not saying that some of these things weren't very uncomfortable or very painful, and there's great empathy for anybody that's gone through that. But there's always something at the very core of it, a purpose for the individual that experienced it. And that's what the journey of life is about finding that out, how that connects. So once you can see a perfect past, it helps you accept it. Forgiveness is obviously huge, the ability to let go of any vengeances or contempt you have for anybody else that can really slow your personal creativity in the moment down because they're taking up a space of your powerful state of mind and energy. Embracing your own perfection, coming to a state where you love and accept yourself for who you are in this moment, regardless of anything that's ever happened, knowing that this is a brand new moment to define who you are and one of the greatest gifts that life truly offers each one of us. And, of course, that leads to opening us up to new possibilities. Because if you see a limited self, you're going to see limited possibilities. So the doorway to infinite possibilities is more acceptance for yourself. So those are the ways that time dissolves. Those are the steps. And, of course, they're not to be taken lightly. There's steps that need to be looked at and really reflected on in one's life to really move through them.
You know, one thing that really helps finish up this discussion is thinking about time in the sense of like, oh my God, I'll never get this chance again. Well, then you tell us the story of Diana Nyad and her swim from Cuba to Florida, and that took a lot of time ultimately, but she got there.
At 60-some years old, it is a magnificent story of the will to achieve a goal and to never give up on it. What I would like to offer is that there is always a brand new moment to define, declare, and demonstrate who you choose to be. And in essence, that is truly your control over time and what unfolds for you. So always a possibility and a new hope and a new opportunity in front of you.
All right, the book is called Time in a Bottle, Mastering the Experience of Life. Howard Falco wrote it, and he's been our guest in the exchange. Howard, thank you very much.
No, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the conversation.
All right, take care.